This is The Takeaway. I'm Tanzina Vega. On Monday, General Motors hit the brakes. The American car manufacturer announced plans to cut more than 14,000 jobs and halt production at 5 plants across the U.S. and Canada. The pain of the announcement was felt from Detroit, Michigan.
It's an extremely disappointing decision. We moved thousands of people, hundreds of businesses, to create that assembly plant.
To Lordstown, Ohio.
Right before the holidays, you hate to see people get news like this, but this isn't just a GM local issue. It's an issue across the board with any auto manufacturer right now.
All the way up to Oshawa, Ontario, just north of Toronto, where workers walked off the job.
They are not closing our damn plant without one hell of a fight.
President Trump, who's promised repeatedly to bring these kinds of manufacturing jobs back, wasn't happy about the change either.
You know, this country's done a lot for General Motors. You better get back in there soon. That's Ohio. And you better get back in there soon. So we have a lot of pressure on them. You have senators. You have a lot of other people. A lot of pressure. They say the Chevy Cruze is not selling well. I say, well, then get a car that is selling well and put it back in.
But it's not that simple. Automotive News predicts that in 2018, U.S. car sales could fall below 17 million vehicles for the first time in 4 years. General Motors referred to the layoffs and closures as a restructuring. So, where does that leave the American auto industry? I'm putting that question to Bill Koenig, senior editor of Manufacturing Engineering Magazine. Bill is joining us from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Welcome to the show, Bill.
Great to be here.
So GM is calling this a quote-unquote restructuring. You're someone who's covered this industry for a long time. When you hear the word restructuring in the auto industry, are you hearing layoffs and cost-cutting or innovation?
I usually think job cuts and plant closings because they inevitably accompany restructurings. It's a bit more polite way of saying it. But there is a broader thing going on. Right now, the auto industry is at the cusp of the biggest change in more than a century. What happened a century ago was it was sort of a toss-up. Which one would win out? Would it be the mass-produced cars or would it be the hand-built cars like the Cords and the Duesenbergs? Well, the mass-produced cars won out. What we're looking at now is there may be a shift to self-driving vehicles, ride-sharing services, and things that would have very fundamental changes. And nobody really knows how it's going to play out. And so what GM is doing and other automakers are looking to do is essentially, you know, trucks are still very popular. That's how they finance their investments in this future technology. And, you know, the market has shifted away from cars. So essentially, GM is cutting way back in cars. Ford has already said it's going to cut way back in cars. So what they're doing is they're trying to amp up the profits from the trucks to pay for the self-driving vehicles and the future stuff.
So I was going to say, how much of this has to do with American car sales and preferences changing versus the Trump tariffs, for example?
Definitely the shift toward away from cars is definitely a factor. If car sales were stronger than they are, you still might have a restructuring, but it wouldn't take this form.
And I'm wondering, what is this, you know, in terms of the what led to this? I mean, we had heard that there were several plants that had issues between management and union workers. Was any of this exacerbated by labor issues?
All three of the assembly plants, there's also two engine plants that were affected by yesterday's announcement, but all three of those assembly plants have had problematical issues over the years. GM has tried to close Oshawa before, and it managed to win a reprieve, but it has tough labor relations. Lordstown has had terrible labor relations over decades. And Detroit Hamtramck, I'm not sure it was ever worth the investment. It's never like boomed the way other plants do. I'm not saying it's the primary reason by any means, but You got to take it into consideration.
It feels like there's a situation. We've been trying to, quote unquote, save the auto industry for years now. And it just feels like maybe, in your estimation, are we trying to save something that's just never going to really be saved at this point?
Well, I think there'll still be an auto industry, but it may be greatly changed. Essentially, what GM's trying to do is stay ahead of the curve. They don't want to be in a position like they were 10 years ago, so you know, they're saying we have to do this for the future. We'll see.
Bill Koenig is senior editor of Manufacturing Engineering. Bill, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Sarah calling from Lansing, Michigan. It used to be that everyone here had someone they knew or more than one person who worked for GM, but now we all used to know someone who did. It's not like it used to be. There's no careers there anymore.
My name is Pat. I'm calling from Southern California. I grew up in Los Angeles, and we made cars here when I was a kid and into my early adulthood. We are the epicenter of car culture. Even all the auto manufacturers have their design studios here. And then all of the auto plants left Southern California. And soon after, all of the raceways and drag strips left. And now custom car culture here is kind of dead.
Hi, my name is Kathy, calling from Fort Lauderdale. I grew up and lived in the Detroit area most of my life. Lots of unemployment, not only at the big three, but also at Lear, American Axle, and any other things tied to the car industry. Also, people that are being hired come in through temp agencies with low pay and no benefits and are not hired directly by the companies in many cases. People can't build a future that way. A sad commentary on the times. Give people a decent wage and a pension. CEOs and shareholders take it all.
Detroit, the site of General Motors headquarters, will face the brunt of Monday's changes. Two factories in the Detroit area will halt production next year. More than 1,500 workers are employed at the assembly plant on the border of Detroit and Hamtramck alone. Karen Majewski has been the mayor of Hamtramck since 2006, and she joins me now. Mayor Majewski, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
So what is Hamtramck like?
Well, Hamtramck is kind of an old school ethnic urban neighborhood. We're just 2 square miles with 25,000 people. So we're the most densely populated city in the state. And it really is kind of an old school ethnic urban working class neighborhood. We're also the most internationally diverse city in the state. We have more than 26 languages spoken in our schools in just 2 square miles.
And how did the Detroit Hamtramck Assembly happen? What's the story? What's the history of the plant in your town?
The Detroit Hamtramck Assembly Plant really has a interesting and somewhat troubled history. The plant was built on land that was taken by eminent domain in the early 1980s. The land on which the plant stands had been a thriving neighborhood, much like Hamtramck. And all of that land was seized by eminent domain, by GM, and bulldozed, basically completely leveled, to build that plant. So thousands and thousands of families and businesses were displaced to build that plant in the early 1980s under the promise that the city needed the economic boost and that this was for the common good. Now we see 40 years later that those families and those businesses and those individuals who made that sacrifice are, you know, now looking at a vacant manufacturing facility in place of you know, what was once a thriving neighborhood.
Are many of the people who live in Hamtramck also working in GM or in the auto industry more broadly?
You know, that's hard to say. We know that relatively few of the workers in the plant itself are Hamtramck residents. It's easy on, you know, easy access to the expressway. So, you know, most folks probably live in the suburbs.
So what impact do you think this would have on the community? If it's not workers directly, how would it impact Hamtramck?
Well, there are a number of impacts. I mean, one, of course, is economic. You know, although relatively few of the workers live in Hamtramck, there are still some who do, and we, of course, get income taxes from them as well as their, you know, as their input into the community itself as residents. But we also get tax revenue from property tax and other revenue from the plant itself. That's a significant part of our budget. I think that from the city's perspective, we just have to look at what in practical terms we can do in conversations with the company and of course with our neighboring city, with Detroit, with the county, with the state, to look at what we can do to survive. I mean, at this point, we're really talking about survival for a small city like Hamtramck.
Mayor, if that land or that property remains vacant, what's the long-term impact for the residents there in Hamtramck?
Well, if nothing is done with that land, if it's simply, or that property, if it's simply allowed to deteriorate or simply boarded up, that has enormous impact for us financially. Of course, you know, the loss of tax revenue, and that would have to be negotiated with the company, but also the perception of decline and disinvestment hurts other potential projects for us. It hurts our reputation as a city, as a viable place to live and do business. So the implications really, you know, go beyond the bottom line, you know, financial loss of tax revenue or something like that. It really does have to do with perception, with our identity as a city. You know, Hamtramck was created around the auto industry. In 1910, the Dodge brothers came in and they built the Dodge main plant, and Hamtramck became the fastest growing city in the country. And suddenly overnight, tens of thousands of immigrants poured in for jobs in the auto industry. And Hamtramck was born, essentially. And that's been part of our identity through the ups and downs of the auto industry and of manufacturing. That's been our identity ever since. And this plant is the last remaining auto plant in the city. So it's the last kind of vestige of our history as a manufacturing center. In a way, there's that to consider, too, is kind of a psychic blow or a kind of cultural blow, which, you know, may have an upside as well. I mean, of course, we all have to be thinking as manufacturing declines or changes in the country, we all have to be thinking about, you know, who we are as a nation, what it is that we do, what we make, and how we make it, and who makes it, and on what kind of scale it's made.
Karen Majewski is the mayor of Hamtramck. Thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.